All right, we'll say good morning. So we're picking up today, Daf Nun Zayin. On the top, the Mishnah. Konam Peras Ha'ilu Alai. The person makes a neder. Konam, now also remember, the Lashon of Konam is often a Lashon of Hegdish, right? A person is equating the particular item with Hegdish, with consecrated items. So a person says, Konam Peras Ha'ilu Alai. These Peros Konam are prohibited to me, or Alai Konam Heim Alpi. Or a person says, upon me, Konam, these fruits are on my mouth. Or konam heim lefi, or these fruits are konam to my mouth. So what's the halacha? Asar b'chilufein u'begidulehem. You are prohibited not just in those fruits, but what? Chilufein, remember, means the exchange of those fruits, which means that halacha l'maisa, if you were to go out and sell those fruits, the money that would then be used to purchase something else, that's called chilufein, or if you were to exchange the fruits for something else, or gidulehem. Meaning if you were something else were to grow from those fruits, those would be prohibited as well. If you look at the Ran for just a moment, so the Ran says, first Ran, top left corner, top left column, see, he says, Konam Peros Ha'ilu Alai, Konam Heim Lefi, Konam Heim Lefi, Asur B'chilufem Gidulein, Mishum Dechevan Sheparat Hadvarim, Ha'ne'esarim Alav, because since in this case, he was explicit with what it is that he is prohibiting upon himself, therefore, shavinhu alayu kehekdish. He has essentially made these fruit upon him like hekdish, like consecrated items. Umishum hachi mitzar bechilufehen ubegidulehen. And therefore, it becomes usar in that which they are exchanged for, and that which grows from them. Kihechi dechilufi chekdish vegidulav asiri. So we'll say, essentially, by using this lashon A of konam, and number two of being item-specific, you have essentially created a situation that is like hekdish. So because you've created a situation like hekdish, just like hekdish, if you exchange a hekdish item for something else, the item is asur as well. Or, if something grows from the hekdish item is asur as well. That's going to be the halacha here as well. Next case. Shani ochel v'shani toim. But let's say a person says, I am prohibiting upon myself these fruit that I will eat or that I will taste. What's the halacha? Mutar b'chilufeihen u'begidulehen. You are permitted to go ahead and partake of that which they are exchanged for or that which grows from them. Look at the Ran again. Skip down in the Ran towards the, in the middle, in the wide lines, excuse me. Shani ochel v'shani toim mutar b'chilufeihen u'begidulehen. Denehi d'sha'ani ochel sha'ani toim. So mafish isura afilo hachi lo mitzra b'chilufeihen u'begidulehen. Dahaki achil chalifin v'gidulin lo ta'im hano peros da'asalahu. So we'll say, so remember, in this case, so a person is being quite much more specific that I'm only assuring these particular fruit upon myself. Therefore, because he's being more item-specific, therefore, again, what? Therefore, he's permitted to go ahead and partake of the, if you were to exchange these fruits for something else, or if you were to go ahead and, let's say, replant these fruit and something else were to grow, halacha l'maaseh, you'd be permitted to partake of these items. Now the Mishnah makes a statement, a klal, that applies to both of the previous stated cases. All of these cases are bedavar shezura'o kala. All of this is referring to something that when you plant it, the original seed decomposes. Aval bedavar she'ein zura'o kala, but if you have something which the original seed does not decompose, afilu gidule gidolin asurin. Even that which grows from that which grows ultimately is asur. Others Rabbo say that in these cases where we say that halacha lemaisa, you are asur begidulein or begidulein with that which grows from the item, that's only assuming that you're dealing with an item where the original seed remains. And therefore, there's some vestige of the original item, even in that which subsequently grows. That's when gidulein ultimately will be usur. But if you have something ultimately that the original seed decomposes, then halacha l'maaseh, that which grows from the original item will not be usur. Take a look at the Ran just once more. B'davar shezra'o kala, v'aldavar shezra'o kala, afilu gidulein asurin. Akulam as nisin koin. This statement is referring to the entire Mishnah. The Hachikamar, this is what it means to say. My da'aminin b'reisha asr b'gidulehen, that which we said in the Reisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, that what? Asr b'gidulehen, that you cannot eat that which grows from the original item. The Mashma, dafka b'gidulehen misar. Now what it makes it sound like Rabbi Osai is what? That if a person says, Konam peras ha'ilu alai, that if I replant the fruit, I can't eat that which grows from it. But that which grows from that which grows, technically should be permitted. To which the Ran says, Aval b'gidule gidulin shari. So that is true when hani midi b'davar shezira'o kala. That is only true, Sri Rav say, in cases, let's say in the first case of the Mishnah, where it said a person says, konam peros ha'elu alai, I can't eat these peros, I make them like hektish. So what did the Mishnah say? That even if you replant those peros, that which grows from the original pre that you ushered upon yourself, will be still ushered to you. Okay, the Ran says, however, the inference from the Mishnah is, but then if you replant that which grew from the original pre, it sounds like what? That second planting, the results of the second planting, should be permitted. The Mishnah is now teaching me that's true when we're dealing with an item where the seed degenerates and or decomposes. And therefore, again, there is no vestige of the first fruit already within the second planting. But technically speaking, if you have something where the seed does not decompose, and therefore there's even some vestige of the first seed in the second replanting, then gidulin and gidule gidulehen and gidule gidulehen will continue to be usher. Similarly, if you skip down a little bit in the Ran, right after the period, v'chinami seifa. This statement of the Mishnah applies to the end of the Mishnah as well. The shani ochal shani toim mutar b'chilufein b'gidulehen. I will say that when the Mishnah said, person makes a neder that I will not eat this particular item. So what did the Mishnah say? That you are permitted to eat that which grows from the item. Again, the Mishnah is teaching me, dafka bedavar shezera okala. That's only with an item where the seed decomposes. Aval davar shein zera okala. But if you have an item where the seed does not decompose, then ben beresha ben besefa afila gidule gidulin asurin. If the seed does not decompose, then lamaisa not only is that which grows from it asur, but even that which grows from that which grew already will also be asur. Okay, so just a statement clarifying the proof, the two previous piskei halacha of the Mishnah. Back to the Mishnah. Ha'omer li'ishto, a man says to his wife, konam ma'ase yadecha, or yadayich alai. A man says to his wife, I don't want any benefit from what you produce with your hand, right? So literally, konam ma'ase yadayich alai. The earnings of your hand should be konam unto me, or konam hein al pi, or ultimately your ma'ase yadayich, the earnings of your hands should be konam to my mouth, konam hein lifi, or ultimately again they should be konam instead of al pi. This is lifi. So what's the halacha? Aser b'chilufehen. So in this case, Rabbosai, not only is the man usser, because remember, once he's used this lashon of konam, he's made it like hekdish, and therefore again, we apply the laws of hekdish to this neder. So for example, in the laws of hekdish, if you are makdish an item, and then you exchange that item for something else, you are still usser in the exchange item. And if you take, let's say, an item of hekdish produce, and you replant it, that which grows from the subsequent act of replanting is treated like hektish as well. That same standard will be applied over here to the darim as well. So if a man says to his wife, konim hein lefi, everything you produce, everything you create, all of your ma'asei yadayim should be konam to me. So the Mishnah says, fine, it's aser, not only is it aser, but he's aser also in the, if it's exchanged for something else, or ultimately, if he replants it and something else grows. However, if he says Shani Ocha Vishani Toim, but if he says I'm hereby asering myself to eat anything of yours or to taste anything of yours, so he's not employing the mechanism of konam, therefore not triggering a hekdish comparison. If that's the case, then what? Simply he's asering the items himself upon himself. He's asering the items themselves upon himself. But however, mutar b'chilufehen u'begidulehen. But again, he will be permitted in what? In anything that they are exchanged for, or anything that if replanted, bless you, ultimately grows from them. However, the Mishnah gives the same qualification. This is only assuming bidavar shezra'o kala. This is only assuming something where the seed decomposes. Aval davar she'in zra'o kala, but if you have something where the seed does not decompose, then I feel gidule gidule nasurin. Then even that which grows from that which grows will be also. So I will say same meaning. It's the same application as before. So for example, when we said that if he says konam maase adayech alai, man says to his wife, your the fruits of your labor, your actions, the results of your labor are literally konam onto me. So what did the Mishnah say? He's not only usher in the direct results of her labor, but what? He's also usher in chilufehen and gidulehen. That's what they're exchanged for, and that which grows from them. Specifically, that which grows from them, when is he usher in them? That's only assuming that the seed of the first item doesn't decompose. And therefore, again, that's why he's going to be usher in gidulehen, because there's some vestige of the first item in the subsequent items as well. But if the seed decomposes, then lamaisa, he will not be usher in gidulehen. The flip side as well, if he doesn't use konam, but he just says, your earnings are asur unto me. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that he's mutter begidulei nechilufein. He's mutter to go ahead and partake ultimately again of that which grows from them. That's only true when, again, when the seed itself decomposes and there's no vestige of the original item left in the subsequent items that are planted. Same distinction as before. Next, there's an interesting case. Sha'at osa eini ochal ad ha-pesach. Let's say a man says to his wife, I don't want to get benefit from anything you do. And we'll say, what we'll discuss also in later Mishnah is what this means. Is this ultimately, again, just simply saying earnings? Is this even saying other things that she may do? All right, for now, it's not really important. Let's say he makes a neder. I will not get any benefits from anything you do until Pesach. Eini ochal ad ha-pesach. Or sha'at osa any miskasa ad ha-pesach. Or any clothing you make for me, I'm not going to wear it until Pesach. So what's the halacha? Asa salifnei ha-pesach, anything that she does before Pesach, mutar le'echol u'lehiskasos achar ha-pesach. So anything that he does, anything that she does before Pesach. So remember, he can't get benefit from it before Pesach, because that's the neder he made. But what? Right after Pesach, he's permitted to get benefit from it. Fine. Now, we'll say now, the truth is that case is not really such a chiddush. The more novel case is one that's about to come. However, sha'at osa ad ha-pesach, but yet, again, if he says, I don't want to get any benefit from anything you do until Pesach, right? Sha'at osa ad ha-pesach, eini ochel. Now, we'll say now, in this case, if you notice, the lashon is a little bit different, right? He says over here, I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Sha'at osa ad ha-pesach, anything you do until Pesach, any ochel, I'm not going to eat. Now, both say, now what's the chilik between this case and the last case? You see, in the previous case, what did he say? He said, sha'at osa any ochel ad ha-pesach. Until, right, that which you are going to go ahead and partake of, that which you do, Mr. Schoenfeld. I'm giving you a mitzvah. So what happens? So now we'll say, just pay attention to this distinction here. So in this case over here, he's saying, in case number one, sha'at osa eini ochel ad ha-pesach. In case number one, he's saying, anything you do, anything you make, I'm not going to get benefit. Menachem, just sit on the other side. Just sit on the other side. No, I can't go on until you sit down. No, you use the sun.
I'm not going to be in the camera.
Come on, you just got in there. You just got in the camera. Right. So let's say, so listen to this. In case number one, he's saying, anything that you do until Pesach, I'm not going to get benefits from. So that's a clearly defined neder. What he's saying is, anything you do between now and Pesach, I'm not going to get benefit from. Until when? Until when? Until Pesach. So after Pesach, he can get benefits from all of these things. Listen to this second case, however. In this case, he says, Sha'at osa, eini miskasa, I'm sorry, I kept losing the place. Sha'at osa, ada Pesach. Now, listen to the second case. Now he says, anything you do until Pesach, eini ochel, I'm not partaking of. Now, I will say, now in this case, the lashon is a little bit more ambiguous. Because what does he mean to say? It sounds like what he's saying is anything you produce between now and Pesach, I'm never going to get benefit from. You see, in the first Lashon, he was making it clear the duration of his neder was until Pesach. It's fascinating, right? But in this case over here, his Lashon is saying anything you make until Pesach, eini ochel. Or sha'at osa ad ha-pesach, or anything you create from now until Pesach, eini miskasa. I'm not going to wear. So the shaila now is, what are the ramifications of this neder? Listen to this. Asa salifnei ha-pesach. So anything she made, the wife made before Pesach, asur lecha u'lehiskasos achar ha-pesach. Oh, so we'll say, so again, the way we interpret this neder is, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm taking a vow that anything you make between now and Pesach is usher to me for how long? Forever, or whatever the duration of the neder is. Right? Meaning, even though he framed it as between whatever you make between now and Pesach, that's not the duration of his neder. Because if that was the duration of his neder, he should have said it the way that he said it the first time. That anything, sha'at ose'ini ochel ada Pesach, anything you make now, I'm not going to eat until Pesach, then he's clearly creating a defined duration for the neder. But if he just simply says, anything you make between now and Pesach is aser to me, ultimately that means it's aser to me even after Pesach.
And even though it says here, acha Pesach, it means even after Pesach. Meaning it's between now and even after Pesach.
Well, no. Remember, acha Pesach is the wording of the Mishnah. It's not the wording of his neder. The wording of his neder is, ein sha'at osa ada Pesach, eini miskasa. That's the neder. Whatever you make between now and Pesach, right? I'm not gonna use. The Mishnah says the way we interpret that is, anything she made before Pesach, he can, this is Mishnah's ruling, Asr lechol is kasos achara Pesach. Exactly. So the Mishnah is teaching me that Lamaisa, the duration of this neder is, whatever, we'll call it forever. You know, I don't mean forever as forever, but just the duration of his neder even spans past Pesach. Look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabbi Osai. Afilu achara Pesach asr, lechol ulis kasos, mikol sha'osa, leolam shahari lo kava bozman. Because very simply, at the end of the day, in this neder, he did not establish a defined time period. So because he did not establish a defined time period, therefore the neder extends even past Pesach. Sha'at nenisli is another interesting case. We actually had this earlier. Sha'at nenisli ada Pesach, im holeches at lebeis avich ad hachad. Listen to this. So a man says to his wife, you can't get any benefits from me until Pesach. If you go to your father's home between now and Sukkis, I will say, now, remember, he's making this statement over here, in-law problems. You know, again, there are certain things that are as old as, you know, whatever, as the Mishnah. Right? So what happens over here? I don't have in-law problems. I want to make that clear. Baruch Hashem. So what is he saying over here? He's saying to his wife, it's before Pesach, and he's saying to his wife like this, you cannot get any benefits from me from now until Pesach. If you go to your father's home any time between now and Sukkot, remember, it's now before Pesach, let's call it, it's Purim. Right? So he's saying, if you go to your father's house, you cannot get any benefit from me for the next month if you go to your father's house any time between now and Sukkot. So the interesting part over here is, remember, there's a little bit of a retroactivity issue. So what's the halacha? Asura bahana also ada Pesach. So if she goes to her father's home before Pesach, so then it's obvious that she's already triggered the neder, and therefore again she may not get any benefits from him until Pesach. Amud Beis. However, la achara Pesach. Listen to this. If she goes, watch this case. So let's say she doesn't go to her father's house before Pesach, and therefore what? And therefore she gets benefits from her husband. But let's say now she goes to her father's house after Pesach. So we'll say, what does that do? So the Mishnah says, she's over on Bal Yachal. Why is she over on Bal Yachal? What does that mean? Because Lemaisa, remember, when she goes to her father's house after Pesach, she retroactively triggers the neder. And if she retroactively triggers the neder, and it means she did what? She already has gotten benefit from her husband, received benefit from her husband between the time of the neder and Pesach. Which means that retroactively, now that she went to her father's home, she retroactively triggers the neder, and it turned out that the neder was already chal back when the husband made it. Therefore, she was prohibited from getting hana from him, but she already got hana from him in the period between the time of the neder and Pesach itself. So she's in violation of Bal Yachel. Next case, Sha'at nenes li adachag, im holeches at lebeis avich ada Pesach. So, Moshe, listen to this. Again, it's before Pesach time, and husband says to his wife, "You may not get any benefit from me until Sukkot. If you go to your father's house between now and Pesach." So now is a reverse, right? What he's saying over here is, I'm making a neder that you may not go ahead and go to your father's house between now and Pesach. And if you go to your father's house between now and Pesach, it triggers a neder that will prevent you from getting hana from me until when? Sukkot. Until Sukkot. So this is just the reverse of the previous case. So what's the halacha? Sha'at nenes li ada chagim olechas at lebeis avich ada Pesach. So what's the halacha? Holcho lifnei Pesach. So let's say she went to her parents' home before Pesach. then what? Asura b'hana asu ad hachag. So we'll say again, obviously, if she went to her father's house before Pesach, she triggers the neder. If she triggers the neder, she may not get benefit from her husband until Sukkis. Umuteres leilech achar ha-Pesach. But I will say, here's the interesting part, which is kind of obvious, that but she is permitted to go ahead and go to her parents' house after Pesach. Meaning that even though she triggered the neder by going to her parents' house before Pesach, remember, the entire original stipulation of the neder only governed the period between now and Pesach. But there was no restriction on her ability to go visit her parents after Pesach. So even though now she triggered the neder by visiting her parents before Pesach, and therefore she cannot get benefit from her husband until when? Until when? Until Sukkis, right? Adachag, that was the case of Yerushat Nanasli, Adachag. But nevertheless, she is permitted now at this point in time to go visit her parents freely. Because even the original duration of the neder was only until when? Was only until Pesach itself. No, there's actually, the Gemara will discuss why that even needs to be said. But no, there does not appear to be any real chiddush in that. Says the Gemara, Ha'omer konim li'ishto konim ma'aseh yadayach alai, konim hinapi, listen to this. Yishmal if kfar ish kfar yama, va'omri ish kfar dima, he'ela biyado. So we'll say Yishmal, who was from the village of Yama, and others say from the village of Dima, he raised the following question. I will say, this is a fascinating question. There are many things that are fascinating. This is amazing. Listen to this. He says, Batzal, and it's actually very lemaisa, Batzal sha'akra b'shvias, v'nata b'shminis. Listen to this case. Let's say you take a Shemitah onion. I will say, so you know, again, so Shemitah produce obviously has its own set of halachas, right? An item that grows during Shemitah, so ultimately has Kedusha Shvius, which means many things. You can't do business with such a, you can't technically engage in Mekach u'Memkar. That if you finish eating the item, you can't just throw it into the garbage, but rather you have to dispose of it in a particular way that preserves its sanctity. So listen to this case. You now have a Shemitah onion that you replanted. You're planted. So I took a Shemitah onion, I uprooted it in the Shemitah year, v'natu b'shminis, and then I replanted it in the eighth year. Eighth year, right, post-Shemitah. And now listen to this. This is where it gets really interesting. He says, v'rabu gidulav al ikaro. And listen to this. The onion continued to grow. And the growth of the eighth year, the growth of year 8, right, ultimately is greater than the growth of year 7. So literally it means, Rabbo Olav, the leaves of year 8 outnumber the leaves of year 7. We'll say, look at the Ran for just a moment. Batzal shal truma shenato v'rabo gidulav alikara mutar. And she says, mutar kilomar, telo, not yet. Actually, the Ran is giving. Let's leave that for just a second. So, also, you hear the situation. So now I have a Shemitah year onion that by itself is we'll call it Asr. You know, when I say Asr, I don't mean Asr. We'll call it Asr that it has Kedusha Shvius. I replanted year 8, and now the effects of replanting in year 8, there are more what we'll call more. There is more year 8 growth than year 7 growth. See, here the Shaila. What's the Shaila? So the Gemara says Mao. Mao, what's the halacha? Here's the kasha. Gidulav heter v'ikara iser. On one hand, I could say the greater amount of growth is heter, is year 8 growth, but yet the ikar, the original growth, is year 7 growth. So do we say, kevan derabu gidulav me'ikara, osan gidule heter, ma'alin es ha'iser? Olo? So we'll say, this is a very simple kasha. What's the kasha? So do we say that since year 8 growth eclipses year 7 growth, or I should say exceeds. Good. Since year 8 growth exceeds year 7 growth in a substantive way, so maybe I'll say like this. Therefore, the permitted leaves, so to speak, of the onion should go ahead and what? Ma'alin. Rabbi will say ma'alin means mevatel. There should be a din of bittel over here that the heter ultimately is mevatel the iser. So do we say that in this case where you take the Shemitah year onion, replant it, and now you have more year 8 growth than year 7 growth, that the permitted growth is mevatel the prohibited growth, or not? Or not? Although, that's the shaila that Yishmael raised. That's how they small raise. So also the community Rabbi Ami. So we'll say, so what happens? So they raise this kasha. So really, it's a fascinating kasha. So we'll say, you'll see, by the way, this kasha, this question, has many ramifications, and we'll see not just for, we're going to plug this into a whole variety of scenarios, because this is not just a din by Shemitah, this is any time, technically speaking, that you have an item that has a particular status, and then you have the ability to replant it, but replant it under different circumstances. Do those different circumstances overrule the original circumstances or not? That's a profound, fundamental shayla. So, us looking at Rabbi Ami, so they brought the kasha for Rabbi Ami. Lo hava biyadei. Rabbi Ami did not have the answer. We'll say, you know, that there's an incredible, I always tell you this, that Gemara is filled with Musr as well. That's why, again, technically speaking, one could just learn Gemara, and you get everything, you do get everything from Gemara. You get Tanakh from Gemara, you obviously get Mishnah from Gemara, you get Hashkaf and Musr also. But also the idea that they came up for Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami said, I don't know. They understand, like, the Musr in that. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos says that a person has to say, Lamad Lashon Chaloma Eini Yodea. I have to teach my tongue to say I don't know. What do we have to teach my tongue to say I don't know? Because it will say, sometimes the one thing none of us want to admit is that we don't know. Because if I don't know, first of all, I am acknowledging a vulnerability, I'm acknowledging a limitation. So the Gemara is saying, you see this, sometimes people say the most ridiculous things in an effort to somehow give an answer to something for which they don't really have an answer. Because they're just simply too insecure to say, I really don't, it's a good question, I really don't know the answer to that. So you're just an incredible Moses. Here they come up for Rabbi Ami. That's Kashi Rabbi Ami. You don't think Rabbi Ami could have like fumbled some kind of answer together? Wow, there's a price like this, and there's a this like this. He's got his own repository of information. I don't know. Sometimes, again, the greatest form of courage and the greatest form of wisdom is the ability to say, here are my limitations, here's what I do know, and here's what I don't. An amazing thing. So Rabbi Ami didn't know. Also came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So they came before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. We'll say, again, just another piece of Hashkar. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. We'll say, who is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha? Nafcha is what? Is a blacksmith. We'll say, it's a very important yisod. You know, I wasn't going to say, that was not the end. Good, some might say the Muslims get a job. Good, I'm not averse to that. But the idea also is that very often we think that the fact that we hold down full-time jobs is our patur, is our exemption from becoming Talmidei Chachamim. Look, I would have been a Talmidei. If I could have sat in the base Medrash all day, I'd also become a Talmidei Chacham. Our history is filled with people who did not sit in the base Medrash all day. They were in the fields, they were in wherever they were, but yet they became exceptional Talmidei Chachamim. So just, person has, you know, after 120, when I come up to Shemayim and I say, Kosh Baruch says, you know, why didn't you write that sefer? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you learn this? Oh, I was busy, I had a job. So that's it. Yitzchak, Yitzi, you know, Yitzi, why don't you, I don't call him, maybe Ben Shalom could call him that. Hey, Yitzchak Nafcha, why don't you come forward, right, and show that someone could be a black, and we'll say, you know, believe me, I would imagine that being a blacksmith is much more physically grueling than anything any of us do for a living. But Lamaisa, you see that again, even as the blacksmith, the obligation to become an outstanding Talmud Chacham is still there. Incredible Musar. So they come before Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Pashat Lemin Hada. So we'll say, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he answered this question from the following teaching. The Amar Rabbi Hanina Trisa, Amar Rabbi Yanai. So what happened? So they quote in this statement, the name of Rabbi Yanai. What do we say? Batzal Shal Truma Shenatar. We'll say, listen to this case. Same thing. You have an onion of truma. Truma onion. Remember, truma is the chilik of the kohanim, which means that if I'm not a kohen, I am not permitted to, I'm not permitted to touch it. Obviously, not literal, I could touch it, but I can't consume it. I can't eat it. It's totally off limits to me. And even the kohen himself, who is permitted to consume it, he has certain limitations as to how and under what circumstances he could consume it. So let's say I have a truma onion, and what happens? I replanted it, shenato, Virabu gidulav al ikaro, and then what happens? And then what happens? And then the new growth exceeds the old growth. So now I will say, I put it back into the ground. So now, what's the status? Now it regrows again, and the new growth exceeds the old growth. What's the halacha? So mutter. The halacha is such an onion is mutter. Now I will say, now what does that mean, mutter? Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Batzal shal truma shenata virabu gidulav al ikaro mutter kilomar dilo havi truma. Mutter means that the onion now is no longer a truma onion, right? Right? You know, panim chadashos, onion chadashos ba'alakan, right? This is a brand new onion now. Therefore, it's not truma. Da'asi gidulon umevatlin ikar. Why? Because the new growth simply is able to be mevatel the old growth. Now, again, there's one catch in this. Ryan says, Miu, Tevel Havi, Da Bitlu Gidula Vesa Iker, Gitamarni Mutter Lomer, the Pakashim Truma Mine, Visharbech is right. Now, and I remember when we see that it's Mutter means it's no longer Truma, but it is now untithed produce. So what will you have to do? You'll have to go ahead and tithe it again. Now, remember, tithing of vegetables is a whole separate discussion, which we're not going to get into now. But yeah, for our purposes today, Rabbi Yana is coming along and saying, this seems to be our exact case, right? What was our case? So our case was a Shemitah onion. But it's the same concept. So Rabbi Yana is saying, if you take a Truma onion, you replant it, and the new growth exceeds the old growth, that what? That Lemaisa, again, the onion is considered to be a brand new onion. So the new growth is mevatel, literally is mevatel, nullifies the old growth. So this would seem to be the same thing then in Yishmael's Shemitah onion. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yirmiya v'itim Rabbi Zreika, Shavik martrein v'avid kechad. So Rabbi Yirmiya, another say Rabbi Zreika, said to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, I don't understand what you're doing. You have gone ahead and aligned yourself with a das yochid, an individual opinion of Yanai, and you have literally set aside the majority opinion. In other words, there are two. Fine. Let's say, as we all know, Klal Gadol is, you could find an opinion that says anything. Right? You can find an opinion that says anything. It doesn't mean that that's the opinion that we follow. So here you have Rabbi Zreika giving Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha a little bit of Musar. You know, you're aligning yourself with Rabbi Yana, but Rabbi Yana is a Das Yachid. What about the other? Now he just quotes two other opinions that don't fall like Rabbi Yana. What are the two other opinions? So the Gemara says, Mani Hutrin. Who are these two other people? Dam Rabbi Avam Rabbi Yochanan. Because we all say Rabbi Avam saying Rabbi Yochanan. Yolda Shesivcha Bezekina. We all say, if you have a young tree that you grafted into an older tree, that's the case. Like if you look at the Ran for just a moment, the Ran says, Yolda Shesivcha Bezekina. So if you have a young tree of Osai that is not yet 3 years old, now what's the chap if it's not yet 3 years old? Therefore it's subject to what? To the laws of Arla. Right? Arla means you cannot get benefit from the fruits for the first 3 years. Listen to this case. I take a young tree, a young branch that is not yet 3 years old, or young tree, young sapling that's not yet 3 years old. Bikatitza, I cut it. V'herkiva benetia zekina, and I graft it into an older tree. Sh'avru alea gimel shanim. That is more than 3 years old. Okay, and what happens? Yaldo shezivcha bezekena uba peros, and Abosai, there are peros on the young tree. So I take, let's say, a branch, I take the young tree which has fruit on it already, let's call it 2 year old fruit, and I graft it into the older tree. What happens? Afa pisho sifa masayim, even if the fruit increases 200-fold, usr, the fruit is still usr. Right, so what do you see from here? That even though, again, the fruit has clearly grown in excess of what it originally was, it does not lose its identity as Arla fruit, and it still we don't view it now as older fruit that came from the older tree. Rather, we still view it as how? We still view it as the fruit from the young tree. Rashi says over here, excuse me, the Ran, even though, now again, remember, the Gemara is using a little bit of hyperbole and exaggeration. Even if it grew 200 times its original size, nevertheless, even though, again, this new growth comes from the older tree, the post-Arla tree, the Kaimalon Yalda Shesivcha Bezekina Batla, Afiluhachi Kevan Sheperos Halalukavar Hayuba Kodim Shesavcha. The chap over the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan are saying is that since the fruit existed beforehand, the fruit does not lose its original identity, even though what? This new growth came from the older tree. So what do you see from here? You see from here that when you have an already existing item, even if now you create new circumstances and it grows more, that new growth does not what? Does not negate the original identity of the item. And therefore, even though these fruit now grow 200 times more, and we know that that growth is a result of the fact that it's grafted into the old tree, it's still considered to be what? Arla fruit. To which the Gemara says, I'm Rav Shlomo Nachmani, I'm Rav Yonasan. Similarly, Rav Shlomo Nachmani said in Rav Yonasan. Shabbos said that's one opinion. Now, right, and Rav Shlomo Nachmani said the name of Rav Yonasan. Batzel Shenata Bekerem. Well, say if you planted an onion in a vineyard. Now, obviously, planting an onion in a vineyard is a problem of klai hakerem, of planting different species together. V'ne'ekar hakerem. And then what happens? Then you uproot the vineyard. You take away the vineyard, so it's just the onion. Aser, Usher, ultimately, again, the onion will still be usher. But say, look at the Ran for just a moment. The Ran says, even though afterwards you remove the vineyard and the onion still continues to grow, nevertheless, and again, once the vineyard is removed, it would have seen that the continued growth of the onion is mutter. And let's say, so we'll say, just to fill in the blanks over here, let's say now the onion grows 200 times more after the vineyard is removed. Nevertheless, the onion is still usser. What do we see from here? Alma gidulin kevan shemina ikar heim yotzin heim ahari heim kimo the gabi shvius nami lo shnas. So what's it with the Gemara has as what Rabbi Zrika is trying to show Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is you've made a mistake. Remember, I will say, just follow the progression here. Yishmol ish kfar yama raised the question. What was his question? I take a Shemitah year onion, I replant it in year 8, and the new growth exceeds the old growth. What's the status of the onion? So they go to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, and Rabbi says, oh, that's an easy one. Why? Not an easy one, but why? There's an answer from Rabbi Chanina Trisoy, in the name of Rabbi Yanai, that if you take a Truma onion and you replant it, and the new growth exceeds the old growth, that's what? The onion is no longer truma, right? To which Rabbi Zrika says, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, I don't understand. You're aligning yourself with a singular opinion of Rabbi Yanai, but there are two other opinions, and as he just quoted over here, Rabbi Avon, Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Shlomo Bar Achmai, Rabbi Yonasan, namely, who hold that when you replant an item, no, even if the new growth exceeds the old growth is not negated. It's not batal. So how, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, are you aligning yourself with one opinion but ignoring the other two opinions? To which the Gemara says, Hadra asla kamed Rabbi Ami, upashet le min hadah. They then came before Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami answered this question from another source. What's the other source? Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Am Rabbi Yochanan, litra bitzalim shetikna vizara mis asheres lefikula. Both say, if you have a litra, remember, is a measure. If you have a litra of bitzalma of onions, shetikna. Now, what does that mean, shetikna? If you look at the Ran, first wide line on the bottom of the Ran, shetikna, shehifish shumasa umasrosa. Well, so let's say you have, it doesn't matter that it's a litra or it's one. Let's say you have an onion that you separated out shumas and maestros from. And then what? And then you replanted it. So let's say you take an onion or a litra of onions, doesn't really matter, and you go ahead and you take shumas and maestros from it, so you tithe it, and then you replant it. So what's the halacha? So mis asheres lefi kula. What's that? Now mis asheres lefi kula means that when it regrows, what's the halacha? Essentially, you have to go ahead and retithe it. Now, what does that show you? If you look at the Ran, mis asheres lefi kula lefi hagidulin vahaikar. Alma osu gidulin hamechuyavin o mevatlin esa ikar apater. Now, I will say, and I remember, the ikar, the original part of that onion, what's its status for trumas and maestros? What's its status? It's taken care of. The fact that the halacha is that when you replant it, and now it grows again, you have to retithe it, tells us what? That the new growth, ultimately again, is mevatal, the old growth. To which the Gemara, so the point the Gemara is making over here is, first of all, Rabbi Yanai is not a Das Yochid. Rabbi Yitzchak Nachra is not going according just to an individual singular opinion, but rather, there are others who in fact subscribe to this opinion as well. Alma, Osun gidulin mevatlin ikar. Therefore, Abba said, what do you see from here? That when you replant something, ultimately, again, the new growth has the ability to be mevatl, the old growth, to which the Gemara says, one second, maybe this is not a good raya. Dilma luchumra shiny. So Abba said, I could give you a different reason in this case. Yeah, in this case over here, Rabbi Yitzchak said in Rabbi Yochanan that you have to retithe the produce. You know why? Because that's just going l'chumrah. Meaning maybe Rabbi Yitzchak is saying it is like this. Look, at the end of the day, l'maisa there's a machlokes. There's a machlokes. What's the machlokes? It's the machlokes. If you take an item and you replant it, and there's new growth after you replant it, and the new growth exceeds the old growth, so what's the fundamental dispute? Fundamental dispute is, does the new growth eclipse the old growth? Is it mevatel the old growth or not? So it could very well be that all that's happening over here is Rabbi Yitzchak is being machmir. And he's saying, look, therefore, in this case, where you took an onion that you tithe, and you replanted it, now that you went ahead and it grew again, we're going to be machmir. And therefore, we'll say that's what? You should retithe it again. But maybe we only say that in cases of chumrah. So you both say, let's go back all the way to the beginning, or this will stop. When Rabbi Shmuel was asking his kasha, remember, what was his kasha on? a Shemitah situation. If you say that the new growth eclipses the old growth, is mevatel the old growth, if you say that in the Shemitah case, then what type of ruling is that? I should say it more clearly. Then that's not being macher, that's being lenient. Right? Because remember, if you say that the year 8 growth eclipses the year 7 growth, you're going to be lenient. Who's to say that we say this concept with leniency? Perhaps you only apply this concept in cases of stringency. So we'll stop over here for today. I apologize, I'm leaving you with the cliffhanger. Right? This is very troubling because we're still left. Hope you could function the rest of the day. Right? But we're still left with this kasha. So remember, the good news is we're clear on what the question is. The question is that you take an item, you replant it, there's new growth. Does the new growth, is it mevatel the old growth or not? So far, all we've come up with is machlokes, and it appears to be that everyone will say, yes, the new growth will be mevatel the old growth in a case where that's a chumrah. But what we want to find out is, do we say that in a case where there's a kula azal? Also, to be continued tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem. I just want to also give, I want to give a very special thank you to Yehuda, who Mamish, he's filled in a day here, a day there, but Mamish to do a couple of weeks, Shkoach, and a special thank you to his wife, who Mamish allowed him to do that as well.